Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Taos areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you'll enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us in person for worship this morning at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. or at 6 p.m. We also have a Bible study Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then again Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And of course, all of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. You're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Or again, you can send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. Well, today we're going to be discussing prayer again, but kind of in an indirect way. We've already looked at prayer in brevity back in chapter 6 in the Gospel of Matthew with the Lord's Prayer. Today, Jesus is going to give us more instruction about prayer, but this time it's going to be in chapter 7. So turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy, that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard, that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Now, Jesus doesn't use the word prayer here, well, partly because he's dealing with a larger issue than just prayer. As a part of this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to deal with good gifts from God, as well as treating others kindly, entering into life, and false prophets. What a diverse combination of ideas, at least until we actually start to look at them. Now, usually, when we study Scripture, and especially the Sermon on the Mount, we will break these ideas apart from one another, and by so doing, we actually miss the context of what Jesus is talking about. Remember, Matthew is showing us that God does things differently, and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is in the same vein. God still does things differently. Well, thus, knowing this, when we start with the first section here, Jesus poses a conundrum for our relationship with God. As caring, loving humans, and I know Jesus uses the term evil, but the reality is that we commit sin. We are evil people in that sense. But we also, in caring for our children, we give them the best that we can if we're being caring, loving humans. There's plenty of terrible parents out here. Jesus is not dealing with that issue. He is just showing us the contrast between us in our sinful, evil lifestyle compared to who God is, in whom there is no darkness. And so Jesus gives us the example of bread and stone or fish and serpent. Now, which would we choose to give to our children? And the answer is obvious. We know because we would choose the better gifts. Even in our sinful lifestyle, we would still choose the better gifts for our children. Now, when it comes to God, the Father, He's not evil. And which gifts do you think the Father is going to give us? The better gifts, right? He always chooses what is best for us. Even if we disagree with Him, even if we don't know it, the Father is always choosing what is best for us. That raises the question. Do you trust Him? Now, knowing this, that God always chooses what is best for us, and then knowing that we, or deciding that we do trust Him in that He's going to give us what is best for us, then following that, Jesus gives us the golden rule. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Well, what's the connection? Well, Jesus, God gives us the best. We've already established that. So what do we give to others? See, do we give them leftovers? Do we give them nothing? Do we take from people? Or do we follow God and do we give the best to others? This is the hard part. Do we give the best? This is why the golden rule follows what Jesus already establishes for us. God gives us the best. And then He says, golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. See, God has been trying to teach us this from the very beginning. Remember creation? Remember Genesis? As God created day by day, He called each day good. And when He finished creation, God called it all very good. So what did God give us? And the answer is, He gave us the best. This is why Jesus tells us that the golden rule is the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets is their way of saying the entirety of the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, all through the beginning from Genesis and all through the law of Moses, all the messages from the many, many prophets afterwards, from Samuel to the very end, all of the prophets, they all spoke of the same thing. And that is this: God has given us the best. And we should do the same for each other. But it is even more than this, because right after that, then Jesus speaks of entering by the narrow gate. Now, again, many preachers, they will wrest these verses from the Sermon on the Mount, from their context, and they will challenge us. They'll choose some varied form of way of salvation. And they'll say, oh, you Christians, we need to live a certain way or else we're not following the narrow way. We need to follow this doctrine or else we're not following the narrow way. Put it back in the context with us. Stay in the Sermon on the Mount. What is Jesus talking about here? And the answer is, He's talking about the golden rule, treating others the way we want to be treated. That is the narrow road. The wide road in the Sermon on the Mount, that's about the way of destruction, which is the selfish way, the easy way. Oh, all I care about is me, myself, and I. The narrow way is hard, and it brings life. The narrow way is difficult, but it brings life. How we treat others is crucial here, and He gives us the example of God. Who is God? God is the one who gives us the best. Do we imitate Him? Do we follow Him? Again, let me read these verses again without all the exegetical interruptions that we usually get in the Gospel of Matthew here, chapter 7, verse 12. Listen to what Jesus says. He says this: so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. See, our entrance into the narrow gate and the way that leads to life is narrow and it's hard. But what or how are we to know if we are on the narrow way? What does the narrow way look like? What is Jesus talking about? What did Jesus say just before this? He gave us the golden rule: treat others the way you want to be treated. just as the Old Testament taught the Jews. God's law, the law of Moses, and all the prophets, was about teaching the Jews to treat others the way they want to be treated. And the Jews missed it, of course, because we're selfish people and we don't do things the way God does things. And so Jesus comes along and he has to give us the Sermon on the Mount and he has to correct us and he has to challenge us and he has to call us and tell us very specifically, Scott, treat other people the way you want to be treated. This is hard, but do it anyway, because this is life. This is confusing for many, because the fear of works-based salvation is in Christianity. We can't do anything to be saved. And yet Jesus tells us the golden rule is the narrow way that leads to life. Those who chant that we have nothing to do with whether we're saved or not, they ignore this kind of teaching, this kind of doctrine. They ignore many places. And now the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus, over and over again, is going to teach us there's a way that we Christians are supposed to be behaving. There's a way we Christians are supposed to be living. And God calls us to live that way. Now, it's true, our salvation isn't earned. It's a free gift from God. But God has an expectation given to us that we Christians will live in a certain way. And again, that is replete throughout Scripture as well. So it's not a works-based salvation, but it is a works-filled lifestyle. And that's important for us to understand. This brings us to the last paragraph that we just read in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Jesus isn't done. We're going to come back to this next week, Lord willing. But the last paragraph we read here is where Jesus warns us about false prophets. And again, this is something many people outright ignore. There are false prophets. Christians, are you paying attention? There are people who pretend to be Christians, they pretend to have a message from God, but they are neither Christians nor do they speak for God. But they're going to tell you that they do. And Jesus warns us of this. So, how does one tell who is a false prophet? Jesus tells us that we can know by their fruits. It isn't going to be by looking at the prophet themselves. After all, as Jesus says, the purpose of wearing a sheep's clothing is to disguise the wolf. We're not going to see the wolf, we're going to see the sheep. And so it is with the false prophets. We're going to look at these false prophets and we're going to think that these men, these women, they speak for God. And then Jesus says, look at their fruits. The false prophet's fruit is going to produce something that is in keeping with the false prophet. And it's going to be bad fruit. Well, what is good fruit? Good fruit is life. Good fruit brings about more. So, for example, if you have an apple tree and it bears fruit, what is the purpose of that apple from that apple tree? And usually we think short-sighted. We think, well, it's so that we can eat an apple. But the reality is that tree is growing that apple, not so that we can eat it. It's growing that apple so that it can produce more apple trees. What kind of fruit does a false prophet produce? And the answer is fruit that doesn't produce more. It's bad fruit. It's fruit that not only do we not want to eat it, but it's fruit that doesn't produce more plants, more seed. It is a line that ends with that prophet. Imagine if you have a tree that produces terrible apples. Nobody's going to want it, and it's not going to produce more apple trees. So what do? Answer, you cut the tree down, you burn it with fire, and you plant a tree that does produce good fruit. See, these false prophets, they're not going to tell you that. You can look at the apple tree and you can see the apples. And you go, look at all those apples on that apple tree. But every single one of those apples is a bitter, sour apple that does not taste good and it has no propagating properties. There will be no new trees coming from that apple tree. This is what Jesus tells us about these false prophets. So looking back at the previous paragraph, where Jesus tells us those who are on the narrow way have a hard life, but they have life nonetheless. Those that are on the wide, easy route, they have destruction in their future. This is where the false prophets will lead us. False prophets don't produce life as fruits. They produce destruction. They produce death. We have no idea what a false prophet looks like because that's not important. What is important is the fruits. So Jesus, now remember, Jesus tells us there are false prophets. Not there might be, not that there are false prophets. And we have to look at their bad fruits. Their bad fruits are the easy life. Their bad fruits are destruction. What is the good fruit? Hard life. Narrow walk. False prophets are going to speak lies, such as this. God wants you to have an easy life. God would never lead you down the path of destruction. God is always going to provide for you the things that you want. God is going to make your life the easiest life that you could possibly have. They're going to lie to you. The truth will not come out of false prophets, but instead, speaking deceptive lies, they are going to tell you what you want to hear instead of what God actually says. And we can only know their lies because we know the truth first. What does Jesus teach us? He teaches us that the way to life is difficult. He teaches us the golden rule is hard. It requires us to put other people first. False prophets, on the other hand, are going to teach us that we can have an easy life, that it's all about self, all about you. They're going to teach you that no sacrifices are needed. They're going to teach you that there's no difficult times in your life. When we start to keep Jesus' Sermon on the Mount together in context, we're actually going to start to understand what Jesus is really teaching us. So let's do that. Let's put it all together, all that we read this morning. Now, of course, today we haven't fully looked at the totality of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, so there's going to be some parts missing, but we will get this section put together properly and keep it in context with itself, and that's a good step. That's a good start. Let's put together the parts, and let's remind ourselves of the things that we've looked at. So first, God gives us good gifts. We need to trust Him in this. God gives us good gifts, so therefore, we need to be giving good gifts to others. This is the golden rule. Adding to this, we need to understand that keeping this golden rule is the narrow way. It's hard. It requires sacrifice. There are few who follow it. But keeping the golden rule is the way to life. Contrarywise, false prophets are going to teach something opposed to this idea of Jesus's. We can tell by what they teach. So today we have many things to consider. It starts with thinking about what we will ask from the Father. See, many people read the first section and they believe that we can ask for whatever we want from God and God will give it to us. But remember, God is going to give us good things. So, are we asking for good things? Are we asking with the purpose of sharing with our fellow man, or are we asking from selfish motives? Are we asking from the golden rule time? Are we seeking the better of our fellow man? Is that a goal of ours to help others? Or do we live our lives for ourselves and ourselves only? Are we trying to better our communities? Are we trying to better our neighbors? Are we trying to better the people that we work with, that we rub elbows with, that we interact with? Isn't that what we would want someone to do for us? Knowing that such things are hard, do we still choose to engage in them? It is difficult. It requires energy and sacrifice. And sometimes we get tired of the hard. Sometimes we forget to do the hard because the easy is, well, easy. And then there's always the whispers of the false prophets. Are we aware of the false prophets? Do we know of their subtle whispers? Are we able to turn aside their lies because we know the truth? It's not just hearing the lies. We have to know the lies by knowing the truth. Do we know the truth? Jesus has given us the truth. This is God doing things different. God, from the very beginning, gave us the very good, and he still does. Since then, he has been giving us the very good. But life is hard, Scott. Yes, I know. God knows that life is hard. This is why God sent his son Jesus, to show us the way, to show us the good, and to teach us that we can have a better world if we would remember to step back into the golden rule of treating others as we ourselves would want to be treated, because this is how God treats us. This is still a struggle for myself today, remembering that golden rule. Every day is a challenge. Every interaction with my fellow man is a challenge to remember the golden rule. And yet, think about this. God sent his son for me, for you, his best. And Jesus came to the earth for me, for you, his best. And he went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for you, the best. See, how does God treat us? And the answer is, he treats us the way he wants to be treated. Many people blame God for difficult lives. It isn't God who creates these things, but ourselves, our fellow man, and the decaying of creation from the fall of mankind. God, he has done his part to make things good, to make things better. Are we helping him with this, or are we selfishly grabbing everything that we can possibly get for our own selves, for our own selfish desires and our own wants? God isn't going to give us the world on a silver platter. Do you trust him? We've seen people who are born with the silver spoon in their mouths, as it were. They tend to be spoiled, selfish, lazy, rude, boorish people. Why would we want to be like that? No, I don't. I want to be kind. I want to be loving. I want to be gracious and merciful. I want to be patient and caring. I want to be like Jesus. I want to care for my fellow man. I want to care for you, just as Jesus does. And this morning, I pray that you desire that same thing as well. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just 1 mile north of F41 on Cedar Lake Road in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand.